Thank you, my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, thus in the universe family of God, for listening to my podcast, Personal God Consciousness in Jesus and Living Eternal Truths. I am Brother Dave, your host. Please visit my large website, www.purechristians.org, or ledbyjesus.org, same website. You'll find many valuable and comprehensive religious and spiritual resources there. When you get there, scroll about 25% down the homepage, and then you may read, download, and share my always free 100-page PDF of key highlights of my books on the nature, life, and teachings of our Creator, Son of God, and Son of Man, Jesus Christ. If any here wish to receive by email a free copy of the text on our show, comment, ask questions, or receive more free text, just email me, dave@purechristians.org. Freely we have received truth in God's Spirit. Freely we love to share His truth. We hope and pray that you do too. We thank you, our brothers and sisters in the perfecting family of God, of all mankind here on earth. We thank you all for listening. Thank you for your spiritual support. We thank you for sharing gems of truth with others. We have selected verses and paragraphs on this topic from the Christian Bible and from the unique 2,097-page Fifth Epical Revelation of Truth, which is named the Urantia Book. That revelation was given around AD 1935. It's in modern American English, and it allows our seeking minds and souls much joy and enthusiasm as we read these powerful verses. All reflective truth-seeking humans on this planet will find some value from these readings. It's freely available online. There's no copyright because only humans can hold a copyright, and this revelation was given by superhumans, so it's fully in the public domain, and so it allows us to then share portions of it wisely with others. So now we'll continue.
Our podcast is... This is from my topical study, number 132, on my purechristians.org website. We're going to do highlights. And now we're continuing part 5 on true and false liberty and freedom on all levels. This is in the Urantia Book, paper 71, Development of the State, continued, Section 8, The Character of Statehood, Paragraph 1. The only sacred feature of any human government is the division of statehood into the three domains of executive, legislative, and judicial functions. The universe is administered in accordance with such a plan of segregation of functions and authority. Aside from this divine concept of effective social regulation for civil government, it matters little what form of state a people may elect to have, provided the citizenry is ever progressing toward the goal of augmented, increasing, self-control, and increased social service. The intellectual keenness, economic wisdom, social cleverness, and moral stamina of a people are all faithfully reflected in statehood. Paragraph 2. The evolution of statehood entails progress from level to level as follows. Paragraph 3, number 1, the creation of a threefold government of executive, legislative, and judicial branches. That has been done. Number 2, the freedom of social, political, and religious activities. That's better in general, but still far from perfect. And lately, there's been some attacks on that, trying to suppress free speech and suppress certain religions. That's still somewhat of a problem. Number 3, the abolition of all forms of slavery and human bondage. That's not achieved from here in this list and on down. Paragraph 6, number 4, the ability of the citizenry to control the levying of taxes. It's very important that citizens control taxes. The government should not dictate how much the taxes will be. We have to tell the government how much taxes we want. We're far from that, of course. Number 5, the establishment of universal education, learning extended from the cradle to the grave. Number 6, the proper adjustment between local and national governments. Number 7, the fostering of science and the conquest of disease. Now, instead of factual science, we have politically controlled science, where science says one thing and the politicians say the opposite. That's terrible. The politicians are trying to dominate and control the scientists with gifts of money if they obey and suppression restrictions if they don't. So there is a battle for truth here, seriously, on this planet. Number 8, the due recognition of sex equality and the coordinated functioning of men and women in the home, school, and church, with, note this carefully, with specialized service of women in industry and government. I add, men and women are spiritually equal, and forever they have very different talents and interests. So-called unisex is a total delusion and abject failure. Number 9, the elimination of toiling slavery by machine invention and the subsequent mastery of the machine age. And we were doing that pretty well, but now we have this concept of artificial intelligence, which will never work. 55 years of artificial intelligence has been tried and has never been successful. Why? Because mind can only be spiritually sent down, transmitted to us, to a living organism. Living animals have minds. We're living animal bodies. We have minds too. But we also, we're much higher than animals. We have higher human mind. So artificial intelligence cannot work unless it's put into a living organism. And it has to come from the Holy Spirit, the partner of Jesus Christ, Michael, who is the creator and sovereign ruler of our local universe in Abaddon. So unless mind comes transmitted down from his Holy Spirit partner, there is no mind function. You cannot put mind into an object, into an electronic circuit or anything else. Number 10, the conquest of dialects, the triumph of a universal language. And that language, of course, is going to definitely be American English. That's worldwide right now. I'm amazed that intelligent, more educated people worldwide are all speaking English. Number 11, the ending of war, international adjudication of national and racial differences by continental courts of nations presided over by a supreme planetary tribunal automatically recruited from the periodically retiring heads of the continental courts. This is important. The continental courts are authoritative. The world court is advisory, moral, but not legal. This idea of one world government is moral support from the best of the leaders of the different countries, moral suggestions, but they can't dictate to the individual states and nations. There has to be nationalism continuing. Number 12, the worldwide vogue of the pursuit of wisdom, the exaltation of philosophy, the evolution of a world religion, and that would be our evolving Christian religion, which will eventually dominate, which will presage the entrance of the planet upon the earlier phases of settlement and light and life. When we're in light and life, everybody will know about Jesus Christ, his life and teachings. They should know because he's the sovereign creator of our local universe. Now we go to paragraph 15. These are the prerequisites of progressive government and the earmarks of ideal statehood. Urantia, that's Earth, is far from the realization of these exalted ideals. But the civilized races have made a beginning. Mankind is on the march toward higher evolutionary destinies. We thank God, we thank Jesus, we thank the Holy Spirit for these gifts. Paragraph 16. This is a paper has been sponsored by Melchizedek of Nevada, a high son of God, just one level under our creator son of God, Jesus Christ, Michael. Paper 72, this is interesting, government on a neighboring planet. Now, why would they tell us about a neighboring planet? Well, that's because this planet has very similar conditions to ours, and what they have done there may be beneficial to do here, to get us through this current crisis that we are in. This revelation came 1934, 1935 to a few people in Chicago, and they were spiritually told to publish it, print it, 1955. It came at the right time, because if you notice, just around 1950 to 1955, there were great changes in the United States. And this revelation did come, of course, to Chicago, Illinois, which is significant. It didn't come to Europe or any other country. Number 1, the continental nation. This is section 1, paragraph 4. This continental nation, in general, followed the evolutionary trend of the planet, the development from the tribal stage to the appearance of strong rulers and kings occupied thousands of years. The unconditional monarchs were succeeded by many different orders of government. Abortive republics, communal states, and dictators came and went in endless profusion. This growth continued until about 500 years ago when, during a politically fermenting period, one of the nation's powerful dictator triumvirs had a change of heart. He volunteered to abdicate upon condition that one of the other rulers, the baser, or the more evil, of the remaining two, should vacate his dictatorship. Thus was the sovereignty of the continent placed in the hands of one ruler. The unified state progressed under strong monarchical rule for over 100 years, during which there evolved a masterful charter of liberty, which is similar to our U.S. Constitution. It's very important that we maintain our U.S. Constitution if we want to maintain a viable and progressing nation. Without following the Constitution and the laws based upon the Constitution, we are doomed to not progress. That's very, very important. Okay, Section 2, Political Organization, Paragraph 1. This continental nation now has a representative government with a centrally located national capital. The central government consists of a strong federation of 100 comparatively free states. We have 50. These states elect their governors and legislators for 10 years, that's interesting, and none are eligible for re-election. That's good to know, because that's being contested here right now. State judges are appointed for life by the governors and confirmed by their legislators, which consist of one representative for each 100,000 citizens. Number 3, Section 3, The Home Life, Paragraph 1. On this continent, it is against the law for two families to live under the same roof. And since group dwellings have been outlawed, most of the tenement type of buildings have been demolished. But the unmarried still live in clubs, hotels, and other group dwellings. The smallest home site permitted must provide 50,000 square feet of land, that is just over 1 acre. All land and other property used for home purposes are free from taxation up to 10 times, which is about 11 acres, the minimum home site allotment. That's great. We need to work towards that. That's especially when you're retired, paying property taxes on your home is very expensive for low-income people. Section 5, Industrial Organization, number paragraph 12. These people are also beginning to foster a new form of social disgust. Disgust for both idleness and unearned wealth. Slowly but certainly, they are conquering their machines. Once they too struggled for political liberty and subsequently for economic freedom. Now are they entering upon the enjoyment of both, or in addition they are beginning to appreciate their well-earned leisure, which can be devoted to increased self-realization. In another part of the Sirach book, Revelation, it says the main purpose of education is to develop a well-balanced personality. So you have to study science, philosophy, religion, much more, and unify that with the unified cosmic consciousness. Section 7, Taxation, Paragraph 6. There is little or no uniformity among the taxation schemes of the 100 comparatively free and sovereign states, as economic and other conditions vary greatly in different sections of the continent. Every state has 10 basic constitutional provisions which cannot be modified except by the consent of the federal Supreme Court. And one of those articles prevents levying a tax of more than 1% of the value of any property in any 1 year, home sites, whether in city or country, being exempted. So even business properties, they cannot tax more than 1%. Wow. We have such overtaxation here. Just think, if even businesses, their property could only be taxed just 1%, and we'd be tax-free for homeowners, look at the progress we can make. But that means small government. Now, with the internet, we could have small government. We could have everybody on Zoom, on the internet, working in the different departments of the government from home. We'd save a lot of money. we could get rid of all this waste. There's so much waste in government. Terrible waste. Okay. Section 9, the plan of universal suffrage, paragraph 7. Thus, except in the election of the chief executive, that be our president, suffrage, voting, is exercised by economic, professional, intellectual, and social groupings of the citizenry. I add, adult citizens can earn up to 10 votes each year in their specialized fields. Reading on, the ideal state is organic, and every free and intelligent group of citizens represents a vital and functioning organ within the larger governmental organism. Paper 73, The Garden of Eden. Section 1, Nodice and Ammonodice. Those are early human races. Now, paragraph 6. These Nodice, I add, with some higher genes, had frequently mated with the, I add, original six-colored Sangic races. That's the regular normal human races, and had left behind an able progeny. And the Nodice came after the gift of Adam and Eve, who came down to this planet 38,000 years ago to biologically uplift and also morally uplift, educate and train us in better ways of life. But a lot of that went astray. We've studied that in other parts and other programs. We talked about the Lucifer Rebellion and Satan Rebellion and so on. So they have messed up this plan to uplift the human race. Had Adam and Eve followed God's will, instead of listening to Lucifer and Satan and others, they would have been more patient to have 1 million pure line children go out and mate with the humans. But they only had, I think, about 1,500 pure line children go out. They were impatient. And so we have just a small percentage, what, maybe 2 or 3% a few people have, of this better Adam and Eve gene, genetics. If they had been more patient and had the 1 million pure line Adam and Eve type superhumans go out to mate with the ordinary humans, we'd be living here disease free. We'd be living 400 to 500 years. We'd have IQs maybe 300 to 500, I don't know, much higher. And we would not be so warlike. And we'd have much greater appreciation of music and philosophy, spirituality, and things like that. But don't worry, God has a beautiful plan for our ascension. All that we've missed down here is not our fault. We will ascend through a whole series of higher heavens in soul form and then later in spirit form. And so we'll get all that training even better than if we were down here just for 500 years in a higher superhuman body. Okay, so reading about this, I'll start over. These Nodites had freely mated with the original Sangic races, or six human races, and had left behind an able progeny. And some of the descendants of the rebellious Delamatians subsequently joined Van and his loyal followers in the lands north of Mesopotamia. Here in the vicinity of Lake Van and the southern Caspian Sea region, the Nodites mingled and mixed with the Ammonodonites, which are loyal Andonites. And they were numbered among the mighty men of old. Okay. To understand all that, you need to really study in detail the Urantia book. I won't go into detail on that. But there were some mighty men of old. Some of the older humans were up to 9 feet tall. Adam and Eve were 8 feet tall. And some humans were got as tall as 9 feet tall. They were physically stronger, but they didn't get the higher mind, a bigger brain capacity that they would have received if Adam and Eve had followed God's plan to be patient and have more Adam and Eve children go out to mate with us. That's all in the Bible. The sons of God saw their daughters or men were fair, and they went out and mated with them. That's in the Bible. People get confused on that. But if you read the Urantia book, it's totally logical and understandable. Section 6, The Tree of Life, paragraph 7. When the plans of the material son went astray, that's Adam and Eve, Adam and his family were not permitted to carry the core of the tree away from the garden. Now, that tree was only for Adam and Eve. It didn't work for humans. When the Nodites, who are mostly human, invaded Eden, they were told that they would become, quote, as gods if they partook of the fruit of the tree. Of course, that's a lie. Much to their surprise, they found it unguarded. They ate freely of the fruit for years, but it did nothing for them. They were all material mortals of the realm. They lacked that endowment which acted as a complement to the fruit of the tree. they became enraged in their inability to benefit from the tree of life, and in connection with one of their internal wars, the temple and the tree were both destroyed by fire. Only the stone wall stood until the garden, that's the first Garden of Eden, was subsequently submerged. That was the second temple of the Father to perish. That must have been the second Garden of Eden. Now, this first Garden of Eden is under the eastern waters of the Mediterranean Sea. And the submarines are going down there now, and they're taking pictures, and there's scientific articles about the big wall down there, and obviously human-made structures. That's all been proven right now. And of course, they don't know what it means, but they know that there is something unusual in the eastern part of the Mediterranean Sea. Must be that the Mediterranean Sea got deeper and larger to cover that up. Paper 74, here we are, Adam and Eve. Section 3, Adam and Eve learn about the planet. This, as I said, is 38,000 years ago. Our biological uplifters, Adam and Eve, came down from a higher heaven. And now we go in here to paragraph 9. When the sixth day of their sojourn on earth was over, Adam and Eve rested for the first time in their new home in the, quote, the East of Eden, unquote. The first 6 days of the Arantia adventure had been very busy. They looked forward with great pleasure to the entire day of freedom from all their activities. Now, that's how we get the seven-day week. That's not divinely given directly, but because Adam and Eve rested 6 days, and then on the seventh day they rested, humans back then did that, and so that got carried down, and they still say, you know, Sunday's supposed to be a day of rest, and the other 6 days are days of work and whatever. Section 5, Adam's Administration, paragraph 6. Even among the Edenites, that's in the Garden of Eden, there were those confused minds that leaned toward the Kalagastia teaching. Kalagastia was an assistant to Satan, and Satan was an assistant to Lucifer. And they were all linked together in their nefarious plans to have unearned power and trying to not follow Jesus Christ, Michael, and not trying to follow God the Father on paradise. So lean toward the Kalagastia teaching of unbridled personal liberty. Some humans are still trying to do and believe and teach unbridled personal liberty. If it feels good, do it. Well, you know what happens. I won't go into detail. It's pretty bad. And they caused Adam no end of trouble. Always were they upsetting the best laid plans for orderly progression and substantial development. He was finally compelled to withdraw his program for immediately socialization. He fell back on Van's method of organization, dividing the Edenites into two companies of 100 with captains over each and with lieutenants in charge of groups of 10. That is trying to overcome the terrible default of Adam and Eve, caused by Lucifer, Satan, Kalagastia, and some others. Section 7, Life in the Garden, paragraph 11. The schools, in fact, every activity of the garden, were always open to visitors. Unarmed observers were freely admitted to Eden for short visits. To sojourn in the garden, a Urantian had to be, quote, adopted, unquote. The Bible, they talk about we're adoption. We're not adopted by God. We're direct sons of God, because that's what God so wills. Reading on, he received instructions in the plan and purpose of the Adamic bestowal, signified his intention to adhere to this mission, and then made a declaration of loyalty to the social rule of Adam and the spiritual sovereignty of the universal Father. And that's good, and that's what should have been done. Some did that. Paper 75, The Default of Adam and Eve. Section 8, The So-Called Fall of Man. Note, the so-called fall of man. This is interesting. Paragraph 4. In estimating the results of the Adamic mission on your world, justice demands a recognition of the condition of the planet. Adam was confronted with a well-nigh hopeless task when his beautiful mate, he was transported from Gerizim. That's not Jerusalem, but that's a spiritual capital, spiritual heaven, Gerizim, to this dark and confused planet. But had they been guided by the council of the Melchizedeks and their associates, and had they been more patient for about 200 more years, I add, they would have eventually met with success. but Eve listened to the insidious propaganda of personal liberty and planetary freedom of action. She was led to experiment with the life plasm of the material order of sonship, in that she allowed this life trust to become prematurely commingled with that of the then-mixed order of the original design of the life carriers, which had been previously combined with that of the reproducing beings once attached to the staff of the planetary prince. Now, that's complicated. You need to read in the Ranch book more about that. So I add, so today, we only have a small percentage of the superior Adamic genes. But that addition was the cause of the sudden emergence of so-called modern man that our scientists don't know how this came about circa 35,000 years ago, they say. Paper 77, The Midway Creatures. First, I add, they are midway between our higher seraphim guardian angels, each of us has a pair of seraphim guardian angels, and the lower human beings here. They are invisible to humans and can travel only at 2 times the speed of light, which is, since C is the description letter for light speed, they travel at 2C, twice the speed of light. Seraphim can go 3C. That's all slow. Highest beings can travel at infinite speed, but they're not in body. Possibly, the human body cannot go faster than 1C, the speed of light. That's what we think. We don't know for sure, but we think that now. But definitely, beings higher in soul form or spirit forms can go very, very fast. Section 7, The Rebel Midwayers, paragraph 5. This is all interesting. A new world, now Jesus Christ, Michael, and Nebadon, his local universe, has, at the end of this age, the first grand universe, supreme age, will have 10 million human-inhabited planets. Right now, I think there's about 5.5 million. A new world can evil spirits possess any mortal mind subsequent to the life of a paradise bestowal son. And Jesus is our paradise bestowal son, and he came down here, he incarnated 7 BC to AD 30, and lived here as God and man, one divine human being, and his life and his teachings are of God. He is coordinate deity with God. Reading on, but before the days of Jesus Christ, Michael, on earth, before the universal coming of the thought adjusters, that's God's will living within us, within each moral human being, first moral decision of a human averages now at about 5 years and 10 months. Some get it at 5 years. Jesus was very advanced. He got his at 4.5 years. And some people are slower and they get it at 6 or 7 years. But that's the pure spirit essence of God, the will of God, living within the mind and co-creating with the human. When the human is doing something that's more moral or godly, then the adjuster co-creates that better you as a higher soul being. You as a higher soul being ascend into the next heaven. There is no bodily resurrection. Thank God for that. The Bible is bodily, bodily, bodily. Jesus still has nail holes in his hand. No, no, no. Jesus is an omnipresent spirit. And he's fully here. Always now, he is fully here. A lot of people don't know that. In the future, more will. A few of us have had spiritual experiences proving that. Not too many yet, but in the future, everybody will be so spiritual they'll be able to always see Jesus here in spirit. When they are also spirit and have what you would call spirit vision. If you just have physical eyes, you can't see anything that's above physical reality. Even in physical reality, you only see 1% of the whole electromagnetic spectrum. You, in physical body and mind, with physical eyes, cannot see 99% of the whole electromagnetic spectrum. You see one narrow octave of 100 octaves. You see the visible range. You see, you know, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, 7 main colors of the spectrum. But you should be able to see colors when you see heat, energy. You should be able to see radio and TV waves, cosmic waves, all these frequencies. Apparently, it's different colors. We don't do that yet. But when we're in heaven, we'll see that and much more. Okay, so let's read on. Let me read that again. This is section 7, paragraph 5. On no world can evil spirits possess any mortal mind subsequent to the life of a paradise bestowal son. But before the days of Jesus Christ, Michael, on earth, before the universal coming of the thought adjusters and the pouring out of the master spirit upon all flesh, these rebel midwayers were actually able to influence the minds of certain inferior mortals, weak-minded mortals, and somewhat to control their actions. I add, all midwayers today on earth are loyal to Jesus Christ. There's no more demonic possession, no more evil spirits here. Next, paragraph 7. Even prior to Pentecost, which is May 18th, AD 30, even prior to Pentecost, no rebel spirit could dominate a normal human mind. And since that day, even the weak minds of inferior mortals are free from such possibilities. The supposed casting out of devils since the arrival of the Spirit of Truth has been a matter of confounding a belief in demoniacal possession with hysteria, insanity, and feeble-mindedness. But just because Jesus Christ Michael's bestowal has forever liberated all human minds on Urantia from the possibility of demoniacal possession, do not imagine that such was not a reality in former ages. Before that, before May 18th, AD 30, some few demons were able to invade the minds of very weak people and cause them to do sometimes harm to themselves. But they could never even then touch normal people. Paragraph 8. The entire group of rebel midwayers is at present, as of AD 1934-1935, the entire group of rebel midwayers is at present held prisoner by order of the Most Highs of Edentia. And Most Highs are 12 high Verandadec sons, two levels under Jesus Christ, Michael. And Edentia is a high constellation headquarters administering 10,000 human inhabited planets plus higher spheres. Reading on, no more do they roam this world on mischief bent. Regardless of the presence of the thought adjusters, the pouring out of the Spirit of Truth, that's Jesus' errant spirit, upon all flesh forever made it impossible for disloyal spirits of any sort or description ever again to invade even the most feeble of human minds. Since the day of Pentecost, A.D. 30 on, which actually May 18th, A.D. 30 on, there never again can be such a thing as demoniacal possession. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so that's enough for this portion. And then in 2 weeks or less, I will go on with part 6 in this series. So rather than saying goodbye, I like to say farewell, do well. Thank you.